clearly a distraction so the monkeys could attack me. That's when I knew it was a setup.
That'll happen.
Welcome to Video Store Clerks. We are here live with you this Wednesday night. And tonight, we discuss a living legend. As Action August continues with the one and only Dolph Lundgren. Join us as your Video Store Clerks discuss some of their favorite movies from this living legend. Let's get it on. We must break you.
It's not a legacy I want to leave behind, but I am Chuck Nasty.
How the fuck am I out of my ass already?
This shit can't be any fucking good.
Welcome to the store.
Hello again and welcome. Don't worry, Chuck. Don't worry. Once again to Video Store Clerks. We are your clerks for this evening. I'm Dave.
I'm Chadman.
I'm Chuck.
And tonight.
Hell yeah.
So let's get it on. Let's start with this delicious video package your clerks have prepared for you. For Mr. Dolph Lundgren, please enjoy.
Let me tell you something about this Punisher. If he ever shows up within 1,000 yards of me, he'll find out what the word punished really means. Find out what the word punished really means. Find out what the word punished means.
Yeah, I'm fucking pumped now.
I love it. It's a great song.
Yeah, Chuck knows a few things about that song. In case you didn't know, that was Bastard Sons of a Judas Goat.
Yeah, in case anybody out there hasn't picked up on that since I mentioned it, like the band name every week. Yeah, that's Something's in Bloodshed, a song that we did about a year and a half ago. Probably, and it was actually that we recorded for a part two to our album Bitterroot. It was supposed to go to another EP related to it, and we haven't gotten three or four songs recorded yet for that. So it's just kind of we were like, we'll just put it out as a single. So it'll be a part of it eventually. But that's a favorite. That's one of our catchier songs, like catchier hooks. And I love the fact that, dude, I love the fact that you used it. So, yeah. Bastard Sons of a Judas Goat. Check us out. That's me on drums and vocals.
I love that hook at the beginning. That's good stuff. I always like that.
Hell yeah, man. Like I'm glad you chose that.
Yeah,
breakdowns are my favorite. They remind me of being in the pit at a lot of hardcore shows.
Yeah, like that's what I love about that song. Is like when we were like getting it together, it's gone through two or three different changes, and what we end up having on like the recording, it's just so good. Like I you know, when you can listen to your own stuff and like not, you know, get in the groove and nod your head and shit, it's one of those people actually like know the lyrics at some point in time.
It's like
screw it back at you, you know.
It's like the breakdown part where like you get in the pit and you're doing like swinging, like spinning fists, and then you start fucking doing some windmills into like floor punching.
Well, I feel like the verses are more of like the chaotic, like if you're gonna like really beat the shit out of somebody or whatever in a pit, and the choruses are just more like, you know, get them fists raising and people screaming the words about catching kind of shit, you know. But yeah, it's a banger, and it's one of our most proudest songs, I'd say. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So thank you again.
Yes, if you want to hear more, check out Bastard Sons of a Judas Goat on Facebook, Spotify, pretty much anywhere. Just do a search.
Cool YouTube videos.
They have their own channel and everything. Check them out when you get a hot minute. But tonight, right now, it's Dolph Lundgren night on Video Store Clerks. If this is your first time joining us, we thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We are three middle-aged men that work in a video store. Nobody goes to video stores anymore. We haven't got a paycheck in 15 years. So we decided to do a podcast. And that's what we do every Wednesday night. We discuss movies all the time, right here on Video Store Clerks. And once again, tonight, the way we do this is we go around the table here and we each pick three of our top favorite Dolph Lundgren movies. And we start at the bottom and work our way up. So let's get it on. Join us in the chat. We're chatty people. We love to hear from you.
Share the cast. Bring more people in. Come on.
Yes, do the whole thing. Share it with your friends. Share it with your enemies. Share it with everybody. Do it. Join us. We're fun. Join us. Starting with number three. This is another difficult one. Only doing three of these movies is hard. I'm going to go with Red Scorpion as my number three.
Mine as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I remember my dad going to, he took me to go see this movie, believe it or not. It came out in 88, I believe.
Yeah, I think it was.
And it's just an action movie. Don't think about it. Just kick back. This is a popcorn movie. Just watch shit blow up. Watch
Dolph Lundgren. It's funny.
Yes, it actually has some funny parts.
It's got some good humor to it.
Let's take a look at a scene. This is actually the opening scene from Red Scorpion.
One of the best.
Are you out of your mind?
No. Just out of bullets.
Yes. The guy in the back, the blonde haired dude, I can't remember his fucking name, but that guy was all over the place as a bad guy in movies. If you have a way to look it up real quick, because I can't remember his fucking name. I'm gonna do that earlier.
I was just thinking that. I think of that every time I see that guy. I can remember him from The Fifth Element.
Yeah. The horror show. I don't know if you ever saw that. The horror show. It's a Lance Hendrickson movie. It's the unofficial part three of the House series. Big long story.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And I have it on VHS. And I actually watched it the other night, and he's the main bad guy. But Ryan James. Okay, yeah. He always plays a great asshole. Red Scorpion, though, man, this was a movie that I wish I would have kept. I've been having all these fucking VHSs of everybody we've talked about, except for my favorite. One of my favorites, Dolph Lundgren. I feel like an asshole about it. Red Scorpion, I found out about it because of Universal Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
I found out about it after, because I'm always one of those people that covers the music or movies. If I like an actor or a musician, I'll go back and find whatever I can. And when I saw Universal Soldier, I was like, I need more shit from Dolph Lundgren. And I found Red Scorpion. I think it was at Walmart for sale on VHS. And I watched it all the time. My mom thought it was so weird that First off, the movie, the plot is pretty simple. It's very standard 80s plot when it comes on to action films. Dolph Lundgren is he's a rogue Russian military man who is just fed up with all the bullshit. Wow, thinking about it, it's kind of weird. Anyway, but projects itself, huh? He goes rogue, and he ends up protecting a foul-mouthed reporter who that guy's been on fucking tons of shit, too. I can't remember his fucking name. The little short guy that this movie's rated R, not just for the violence, but how many times that guy says fuck. And he protects him, and I can't remember why the guy was in jail, but another dude. And Dolph Lundgren ends up being like, fuck you. He's like this the whole movie to the Russian army. And it's a fucking great movie, man. And like I said, there's humor in it and stuff, especially with when it comes down to Dolph Lundgren and the foul-mouthed journalist. Yeah, it's such a fucking good – so many good, like, action scenes. It just always just made me happy. It was the movie that made me go, I love this guy. I need to see more completely.
Right. I started that with Rocky IV. Rocky IV was the first time I saw him, and I instantly became a fan, and that's why I had to go see The Red Scorpion. And apparently this movie was shot in South Africa, and they started shooting in 1987. It actually got shut down for a couple months due to assassinations. I think they 12 people got shot and killed, so the government had to shut down the production.
That sounds about right.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. And I think they ended up changing locations, too.
See, I don't really remember that movie too much because I've only ever seen it a few times, and it was forever ago.
That needs to be changed immediately after this, like, this show.
Well, I've tried to find it, but I just kept getting the watch trailer thing like you did.
What the fuck? Yeah, we'll figure that out.
I know he was her bodyguard for a while. I don't know if they were banging.
Come on, man. I'm gonna throw it out there. I'm gonna say. But you know what? I bet she's a weird lay.
I bet she's an aggressive lay too.
Oh, but I mean, it could be the best. Anyway, we're gonna go on. we're gonna put a tangent that I can't promise is gonna stay rated R.
There you go. Good list too, Nathan. I think it's back.
Yeah. Shut on Little Tokyo, Punisher, He-Man. No, I can dig that. It's a good list. Shut on Little Tokyo, man. That's we'll get back into that later on.
Go ahead, sir.
Weird turn has entered the chat. I'm gonna say Men of War is my number 3. I guess one of those movies that it reminds you of pretty much every other action-packed, chaotic military movie you would see back in, the late 80s, early 90s. Where, because before, there was Gunnar Jensen from Expendables, there was Nick Gunnar.
Yeah. And
he plays the character of Nick Gunnar in a few different movies. I don't remember which ones they are offhand. But that movie was really fun, because it also had Tiny Lister Jr. in it.
Who?
Tiny Lister Jr., Debo.
Zeus.
Oh, okay. That guy was an asshole. I'm sorry, but he was.
He also reunited the Universal Soldier together. He played a super asshole in this fucking movie. He wanted to kill everybody. the whole premise of the movie is they get sent to this island to kill all these islanders that are on the island. And then, they're pretty much just, living in huts and shit. Asian community, they're living in the old country and trying to protect all the the caves and temples and everything. And then so I forget this fucking guy's name. Fuck was his name? I'll have to find it here in a minute. But he actually wants them to kill everybody on the island because he wants all the bird shit and bat shit in the caves. Because that's where all the dinosaurs were apparently. Pterodactyls lived in those caves. So they're trying to get samples. And then once Dolph finds out why they want to fucking kill everybody and just be for some bird and bat shit, he stays on the island and protects them from everybody else.
Huh.
And then you know, it just pops off.
I don't think I've ever seen this, now that I think about it.
I've never seen it.
Like, I remember seeing it back in the Hard Target type days.
Okay. All right. I'm going to have to go back and watch that. That sounds very intriguing.
It's pretty funny.
See, I can dig that.
That's what came to my mind, too, was Ace Ventura.
Yeah. The basket. Guano.
Guano.
Excuse me. Your balls are showing.
I think it's pretty crazy, though, like towards the end. Like, they have a bunch of fucking assholes everywhere trying to kill them. And then they just start taking them out one by one.
I mean, have
a shootout at the end.
See, I'm not as big of an action guy like I was when I was a kid. But I love the fact that we've been doing this, the last two episodes, this whole August action hero thing, because I've gotten to go back and watch some movies that I haven't watched in forever, and I realize it's very nostalgic for me.
That's what I was saying earlier.
And, like, watching some of these, I'm like, you know what? This is why I like these movies. They're straight to the fucking point. There's not really much to it. You can put just about any of them on for the fuck of it. I mean, I've put on a bunch of these fucking movies that we've talked about, like, just to have on. And I find myself going, okay, I'm going to sit down and have a cigarette for a minute, and then I don't get anything done because I'm watching these fucking movies. Like, right. That's the beauty of the action film.
Well, the guy I was talking about is Kevin Teague.
Kevin Teague.
He was one of the guys in Roadhouse. He's like the guy that owned the car dealership.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
No, actually, he's the dude that ran the Double Deuce. He was the main character.
Okay.
He was the boss guy.
All right, okay. All right, yeah. That guy was in a lot of shit, too.
He really was.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize it said that I think Dolph's made over 80 movies now.
I thought it was more than that. Jesus Christ. The man is, first off, we've got to.
Yeah, I mean, that depends on when that shit was actually posted, too, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, the thing about Dolph Lundgren is he's a very smart man in many ways. He's a fucking, like, what's the word? He's a scientist of some sort.
He has a couple degrees in engineering.
Yeah, like he's a very, very smart motherfucker.
He got them in the early 80s, and I think that's when he went to be a bodyguard for Grace Jones and just kind of fell into it.
Yeah.
I don't know if Stallone discovered him or a casting director discovered him. I'm not sure how that came about, but
his real name is Hans. You.
Yes. Yes, Hans Lundgren is actually his name. I don't
know. Hans.
Mm-hmm.
That's not.
And he's from Sweden. Everybody thinks he's Russian or German, but he's not.
He always plays Russian or German. It's so fucking weird. But he's actually Swedish.
Actually, in Men of War is the first movie he played where he was actually Swedish.
Okay. Makes sense. But he also. If I remember correctly, I probably have some of this worded wrong, but at one time I heard that his contract on making films was he had a contract to make like one or two movies a year. He gets paid a certain amount of money and he's good for like he's solid. So that's why he got that's why you see a lot of these, just like Van Damme, like you see a lot of these straight to video movies that happen like in the time period where like Universal Soldier and all that stuff, then like the action movies kind of went away and Lundgren was still making movies and a lot of people weren't, because he made a contract that was like, hey, you pay me this much amount of money for two films every year. Boom. And he's set for life.
It says here he was a chemical engineer and he had a master's degree in chemical engineering and apparently he has a fourth degree black belt, and then he had got a scholarship to MIT whenever he was with Grace Jones.
So he was with Grace Jones.
That's what it says.
You said so, they would like get mad at each other.
Singer Grace Jones and became a relationship with her.
Oh, well, there you go.
Do you think he ever told her he was gonna? You think he would? He ever said, "I'm gonna break you"?
I said it to everybody.
Say the line. Say the line. Oh Jesus, I'm gonna break you. He probably gets tired of.
He was with her in a relationship. They had coke orgies. Look it up. Well, it was the 80s.
Hey, you know,
everybody in Hollywood had coke orgies back in the 80s.
I can't fault somebody for doing coke that was a celebrity in the 80s. I really can't. Orgies? Come on.
Sounds like Charlie Sheen's childhood.
And Molly Cruz.
And 160 IQ. That's not like genius level.
He is. He's a certified genius. The guy proves that you can have muscles and brains. He really does.
You're a biochemical engineer. You're pretty special.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I don't think we need this guy as our enemy. I'm just saying. I've watched him take out fucking like, you know, small armies with just him in these movies. And he actually in real life can fuck with chemicals and fuck knows what he can fucking do with it. We need him on our side. We need the scorpion. The scorpion.
So was Red Scorpion your number three, Chuck?
That was my number three, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. Well, we're just moving right along here. Oh, it's my turn, isn't it?
It is.
It is. It is.
What else is there to say? Before the MCU, before Spawn, before even Blade, back in the days when Hollywood had no fucking idea how to make a superhero movie, to our young viewers out there, Dolph Lundgren, once upon a time in 1989, played the Punisher. That's right. There was a Punisher movie in 1989, the same year that Tim Burton's Batman came out. And I'm not good at numbers, but Batman Begins came out in 2005, which was the first attempt, I believe, since the 1989 Punisher that a superhero was in a dark, serious, like a realistic world.
Yeah.
This is the Punisher. And if you didn't know the Punisher was a comic book character, you wouldn't know this was a comic book movie.
If you didn't know Punisher was a comic book character, then you need to get out of the rock.
Why did you rent the movie? Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, he didn't wear a skull logo at all in the whole movie.
No, he didn't.
Because I remember watching it whenever I was a kid and didn't realize that it was that Punisher until I got older.
Mm-hmm.
I was just always confused why there was no skull. That was the only thing that as a kid I always griped about. Everything else I loved.
Yeah, I was that stupid kid that went out and played sports instead.
Hey, you know, they tried to get me to play sports. But,
I didn't get into comics too much. I was too busy playing baseball and basketball and shit.
Well, let's look at an action scene from The Punisher.
Fuck yeah.
Please enjoy.
I love this scene.
Children of God is going to cost you money. Take that message to your people.
That's fucking good stuff right there.
I probably took that down a little bit. It was a bit of overkill there.
No, it wasn't. It was fine. It was perfect. I was over here like I was when I was a kid when I first fucking saw that fucking movie, you know?
If you've never seen this one, the acting's not that great, except Dolph. And Louis Gossett Jr. is actually in this movie, too.
Yeah, he does good in that movie. Yeah, he does good in everything.
He does really good, and I kind of wish they'd have put more stuff with Frank and Jake in that movie, especially like in the prison cell. There was a lot of good stuff. It was
Which
actually
is an amazing scene.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That was maybe a little more out of a comic book, just him holding that gun and fucking blasting everything in sight, coming through the window.
The funniest scene in that movie to me is whenever, like, in the beginning, whenever the fucking bum guy gets thrown out of the bar, and then he fucking has, like,
the remote control car with
the bottle of whiskey on it, and he, like, lures
him back. I'm a thespian, sir. You're a what? An actor, sir. Oh, okay.
Get the fuck out of here.
And this was made by a first-time director and a first-time screenwriter on a budget of about $9 million. And if you don't know, a budget of $9 million is fucking nothing. That's a shoestring budget. Very limited distribution. It only came in theaters in the United States for a short time and a limited amount of theaters, but it still made $30 million. It has been re-released. Apparently, the director kept a 35mm copy of the print. And every now and then, he'll show it at comic book conventions, which I thought was interesting. But I don't think it ever got a proper DVD or Blu-ray release. So you can find this movie on YouTube, but the quality is pretty bad because I think they ripped it from a VHS. And
I still have my DVD, so...
Yeah, and that also causes for a lot of shots, especially in the action sequences. A lot of the shots just look weird, and that's probably because of crop. They got cropped out.
When it comes down to it, you're better just fucking buy on the DVD. I mean, it's worth it. I mean, it's. I don't care what anyone fucking says about that movie. I don't care. Awesome. It's the best Punisher film.
They did a Punisher comic series based on that movie, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they even did one for the Michael Keaton Batman.
I need to see that shit, both of them.
And they both pretty much had almost the same exact cover, but just different characters in the background.
Mm-hmm. And this one had a completely different tone than anything that would come after it. Like I said, to about Batman Begins, the Christopher Nolan movies that put the superheroes and... real life situations, because this movie. So,
is that the first movie that Stan Lee's name was on? I know he was the executive producer.
I don't know. It might have been. The only time superhero movies, well,
that came out around the same time Captain America, right?
They were the TV movies, and they were horrible. Oh, they were horrible. Yeah. The only time I think they ever found any kind of success was the Incredible Hulk TV show in the middle. Yeah. Maybe the Wonder Woman TV show.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I gotta say though, I lost my fucking train of thought. Fuck, you were saying something. What were you saying? Shit, how am I gonna do this shit? That's a good point.
I hate it when that happens. That happens to me like at least 3 or 4 times a night.
Yeah, it
will
come to me.
And another shot in the foot to this movie was New World Pictures was the studio, the distributor, and they were going through a leadership change similar to what Warner Brothers is going through now during this time. And, of course, at that time they didn't want anything to do with superhero movies, so it just kind of got thrown in the video store for nobody to find, nobody to see, which is a real shame. I think had the script just been polished a little bit, who the hell even knows what they could have? Because like I said, I forget his name. He has a weird name. I forget what it is. But the dude who directed it worked alongside James Cameron on both Terminator movies. He worked with True Lies. It's just if someone with more experience kind of had been there to say, like, maybe you should try this, maybe you should. Because there's a lot of illogical things in this movie. My favorite one, I think, is one of the female assassins takes off her earrings.
Yeah,
goes from across the room and goes right through a dude's hand and into the wall.
Oh, it's total comic book.
Mm-hmm. And there's no super villains. Kingpin's not in it. No, right. Nothing like that. I'm not real positive.
He lives in the sewer.
Who the villain? Yeah, I don't remember him living. I thought the comics he lived in his van or something.
The first time you see him is just him sitting there naked, and you see like his ass just chilling on the fucking concrete slab.
Yeah, I was always kind of like, why is he just sitting there naked? But I mean, like, if you're just living down there, he just feels comfortable in his own home, I guess. You know.
Right. I guess
he's, you know, Frank Castle is kind of the beauty about the Punisher is the fact that he kind of lives in us all. I mean, you know, you're talking about a character that first, if you don't know who the fucking Punisher is, you're stupid. But the idea of it is, you know, Frank Castle's a cop who's, you know, family's killed, and he loses his fucking mind and he wants to seek revenge. And, you know, I justify it. You know, it's like the part in the movie where one of the fucking, you know, the higher ups or whatever is bitching at Louis Gossett Jr. And he's like, you know, is it really that bad? He's like, is it really that bad that he's doing this? You know? And I think there's a little bit of us, every one of us, that's like, I understand. You come after my family, you do something to my family, I'm going to make sure that people like you and you are dead. So, I mean, I always love the Punisher for that reason, you know? And I think that the world could actually be a better place if we had the Punisher.
So, we had a couple of those guys.
You know, taking care of the fucking trash, you know?
See, I think all the Punisher movies are good in their own way. Like, even, like, the series on Netflix, like, that shit was dope.
I have heard great things about that, and I'm actually getting ready to start it. Because I think it's about time.
I forget that dude's name that played him in that, but he did a really good job. The dude from Walking Dead.
Yeah, I hated him on Walking Dead. Couldn't fucking.
Oh, really? He was one of my favorites. He cracked me up.
But I was told that he was, my guitar player, Josh, he said that the Punisher is a role that was like, he plays it like it was meant for him.
Yeah.
And so I can dig that. But I don't know if it's because, you know, I love the Punisher so much, the Dolph Lundgren or what, because I just feel like he portrayed like how I would see the Punisher. You know, his monologues and all that shit. Like, I can see the Punisher being that way.
Right.
You know, just like when he grabs the guy in that scene we watched, and he you know, something about the children or whatever the fuck. I can see him being that kind of guy. Like, he does good.
Richard said his name's John Barenthal.
Yeah, that's it. I couldn't think of it. I drew a blank.
When they came out with Thomas Jane, whatever his fucking name is, he's too pretty. I didn't believe he was too pretty. I'll go ahead and say it. I've never even made it to the point where John Travolta appears in that movie. I've watched that movie 6 times, and every time I've fallen asleep. It bores the fuck out of me. And then Warzone came out, and I might be missing one, but when Warzone came out, I was like, this guy might actually bring it back. Mm-hmm. He looked and kind of like had a feeling of the Punisher, and I still think he did a good job, but that movie was ass. And
it was too over the top comic booky.
It was I tried to justify while I was watching it in the theater that it was like, okay, all right, it's comic, all right. But it did get a little too.
What year did that come out?
Oh, fuck. Oh,
wow. I don't even remember.
Because it kind of had like that Dick Tracy vibe kind of thing going on.
Yes.
It just failed at it.
Mm-hmm.
Dick right. Tracy was dope. Like,
fuck yeah. Completely, but yeah, I totally agree with something, because the characters and shit, like the main villain and all that, like, yeah, it was a little too much, but I will stand by it forever. Dolph Lundgren is the Punisher.
Yeah, they completely. Totally had the right idea with this movie, and I totally believed it. He was just fucking dead inside.
Yeah,
you know, you'd see him acting lethargic and stuff, but that's why he's dead.
Yeah.
And I think the Thomas Jane Punisher, they tried to make a PG-13 Punisher movie, and that ain't going to fucking work. So I'm a little nervous what Disney does.
That'd be like making a PG Deadpool.
Yeah, that just it's not going to work. And I think Warzone tried a little. I think they tried to get the right mix.
Yeah, it was dumbed down for the kids, definitely, but yeah. It still didn't work.
Yeah, I anytime they come out with a Punisher movie, I'm gonna watch it, and I'll go into it with an open mind. But so far, Dolph's my boy. when it comes down to that, completely.
Beautiful. Great movie. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Like I said, you can find it on YouTube. I don't know if it got a DVD release or not. I don't know if it ever did. I don't know.
It did. Probably not, because I fucking haven't found that movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have it on DVD.
Oh, do you?
I have it on DVD, yeah. I just didn't dig it out. No, I bought it from Walmart years ago.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, you can find that. That's what I was saying a minute ago. You can go just buy the DVD. Now, Blu-ray, I don't know if there was ever a Blu-ray. I don't think there was, but there is a DVD out there, believe me.
Holy shit.
Mike.
It's on Blu-ray on Amazon.
Oh, there you go.
There we go, see?
See, like I said, we learn stuff.
I got Punisher non-opened. Why isn't it opened? God, the Best Buy. Well, then open it.
Watch that shit. Be punished.
Open it. But, dude, the monologue in that opening, though. Dear God, why? Like, his whole thing in that is just, oh, my God. And when I was watching that, I was like, yes, this is, I'm a kid again. Like, you know, this motherfucker means business. And, yeah. Fucking love it. Punisher's great.
What's your number two, sir?
Well, we talked about it a little bit last week, but it wasn't my Jean-Claude picks. So, Universal Soldier. Just because I love the character of Sergeant Andrew Scott.
Yes.
He was just a fucking, I don't give a fuck, I'm killing everybody. Fuck it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they said, yeah. like even in that movie, like, he was pretty dark. So, like, I'm kind of interested to see what they would have done if they actually released the first script whenever it was darker. Because, like, the one scene where, like, apparently...
I'm all ears.
Well, that scene, but then there's anybody that they saw, anybody that witnessed them hunting down Luke, they were told to kill all the civilians that witnessed anything in the original script. And then plus, like, whenever... at the very beginning, whenever they do the terrorism thing at the dam, apparently, like, the government just hired mercenaries to do this, and they were all unarmed. They were just trying to show off their soldiers. So they actually were just going to go in there just to kill some mercenaries, but then they ended up changing it to actual terrorists.
Probably for the best. It was
supposed to have a whole different fucking outlook on it.
Wow.
Yeah, like, it was supposed to be, like, really dark. But they were just trying to get this program off the ground.
I am glad that they... Yeah, I'm glad they chose to change that. I will say this, though. I don't have... I have the case, the VHS case for Universal Soldier. It's actually up there. I'm not going to fucking get it. It's about a bunch of shit. But, dude, because you know me, I collect my VHSs. I spent $30 on a whole big load of fucking, like, just random VHSs a while back. And I saw the Universal Soldier cover in it, and I was like, yes. And I opened it up, and I brought the VHS out of it, and it wasn't the same fucking movie. I don't remember what it was, Bird on a Wire or some shit. And I was like, no. So I kept the case, just hoping that I would end up finding the actual movie, and I never did.
I'm just glad they actually went with the title Universal Soldier, because the original title was pretty weak.
What was the original title?
Crystal Knight.
Oh.
Crystal Light.
Right. That's like Dark Crystal type movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that doesn't even make sense.
Wow, yeah, it's a weird one.
Universal Soldier was way better.
Yeah.
I just see the Vietnam scenes were actually filmed on a golf course. Wow. Four.
Movie magic.
Gotta love it.
That's kind of crazy. That's pretty brutal fucking scenes in that movie, man. I mean, because, you know, we talked about it last week and everything too, but, like, I don't know. So some of the shit in there just affected me as a kid, where I was just like, man, this is great. It's so fucked up. And how Dolph Lundgren's character was in the film, you could tell how fucked up this guy was. You know, like, he had fun when he was causing destruction. Are we having fun yet?
Before the fucking character to play too. Like, I'd so much rather do that than the Van Damme character.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Although the Van Damme character in that, there was parts that were funny with him and the fucking
they were, but I mean, that's why, like, I didn't use him last week, because he just had other roles I liked better than that. Like, with Dolph, though, he definitely played the more dominating character, I thought.
Oh, I agree. He sticks out more.
Apparently him and Van Damme didn't really get along either. That's why they almost got into the fight at the opening.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know about that.
Why?
Just said they were at the carpet and they were pushing each other around and everybody saw them and they were getting ready to start fighting and they broke it up.
I wish there was video of that. If there was these there, days, there would be.
It's at the,
there is?
Yeah, it's at the Cannes Film Festival in 92.
Okay, I'm going to have to look that shit up. That's hilarious. Dude, there's no ifs, ands, buts about it. Dolph Lundgren would whip Van Damme's ass. I highly believe that.
It'd be fun to watch. I wouldn't be mad. I'd watch that shit.
I don't know if I want to watch it now or not. That might be kind of sad, but
I don't know. If Dolph gets a hold of it, it's all over.
Now, the sequels, they were terrible.
Oh, God. Yeah, we touched on that a little bit last week, Chad. We don't need to revisit that.
I still haven't seen any of them.
And then, like, apparently it got kind of bashed when it first came out because everybody was trying to say it was a Terminator ripoff.
Nah.
I don't see it. The only reason they said that was because of the whole, like, cyborg type thing. But they weren't really cyborgs.
They weren't.
Right. They were dead.
They were reanimated. Yeah. They were just reanimated humans. That's why they had to stay in the cold. Yeah. It's like if Reanimator was an action film. And it was a military film.
So what's your number two, Chuck?
My number two is a film that I don't it has a stupid fucking alternate name. And some may know it. Some may know it as Dark Angel. Which doesn't make any fucking sense. But we know this movie as I Come in Peace. A film that I can't remember where I first fucking saw it. It might have been on fucking Fox late at night. Because that's where I saw a lot of my fucking movies as a kid. In case people out there aren't aware of this fucking movie, let me just go ahead and tell you. It's got a really fantastic, weird-ass fucking like story plot to it that I would like to know how bad the coke problem was in the writing room, or the heroin problem, or whatever the fuck, because the story of an alien coming to America and he's stealing drugs to pump full of people and kill them so he can put a large spike in their head and get their fucking brain juice or some shit. Well, it was the I can't remember what the juice was. It was brain juice, basically, for when they got high and it just, you know, whatever, and it built up some shit. Movie is fucking, it's got a lot of funny parts. It's like Red Scorpion. It's got a lot of funny as well as a lot of good action. Dolph Lundgren is the cop that is put on the case after a bus goes down the wrong way, and a bunch of people are killed in a nightclub. A bunch of bad people are killed in a nightclub. Which the main bad guy in that played Lex Luthor on the old Superboy series back in the day, if any of you remember that. He also played Elaine's boyfriend in Seinfeld, and he had surgery. And she went to go get some fucking juju bees before she went to go see him at the hospital. And it was a whole thing. Anyway, but all these people that are killed in this nightclub, all these bad guys, are killed by a CD that won't stop until it gets into the speaker. And you know, Dolph Lundgren, his character, is also accompanied by a dorky ass fucking fed who is by the book. Everything has to be by the book and all this shit, and he just causes problems. But it's a cool little banter back and forth between those two throughout the whole fucking movie. It's Dolph Lundgren being a badass, being a badass cop like always. Going after this fucking, because everybody thinks he's fucking crazy because he sees the bad alien being chased by the good alien, which, by the way, looks like he belonged in Critters, which he might have been in Critters. I don't know that. Actually, now that I think about that, he looks like the guy that's in Critters. It looks like him, though. Looks straight up like him, though. They could have made that a whole thing. Critters
movies very well.
I don't. I need to go back and revisit those, actually.
Well, what would one of these nights be with one of these action stars without a one-liner? Let's check it out.
I come in peace.
I come in peace.
I come in peace.
And you go in pieces, asshole.
Yes.
That's the whole clip. What else do you want?
His faces throughout that movie fucking kill me.
The guy that plays the alien, he was in a lot in the 80s too. He always was a bad guy. I can't remember what else he's been in though. I know his fucking his face, but I can't think of what he's been in. But he was like in like not like, I don't think he was in Warlock, but he was in some other movies that are like that, I guess. But yeah. Why it was called Dark Angel at some point, I don't know. So, if you want to watch this movie, which we highly recommend. I know I do. We all do, apparently. Tubi, look for Dark Angel. It's confusing. Doesn't make any goddamn sense. That's why we prefer it called I Come in Peace. Because it's fucking great that the alien uses that one line that we all like when it comes to the aliens, you know, you always think of I come in peace. And he's like, I come in peace, but he doesn't because it means something different with bad aliens. It means I come for destruction. I don't know.
Fuck shit up.
Yeah. Oh, and also there is a scene in this movie that I had to rewind it to make sure I saw what I saw. There's a scene where Dolph Lundgren is, he pulls a gun out on a dude, and puts it to his crotch.
Oh yeah.
The gun is different from the gun that he has in the scene. He pulls out this gun. It's a standard, you know, what you usually see in movies, the cops having, you know, 45, whatever. And then it cuts to, I don't know if it was just shot later, but it cuts to a close-up of him shoving a gun in the guy's crotch. It's a totally different model of gun. And it's not even Dolph Lundgren's hand, I don't think. And then he goes right back to it, and you're like, what? So, like, I had to rewind, and I was like, yep, I did see that. Okay, that's interesting. But this was also one of those films. I told you when I was younger, and I my dad got me a VCR that recorded stuff off TV, and I recorded Big Trouble in Little China all the time. I recorded Commando and Suburban Commando on the same thing. That was my first movie I recorded. I Come in Peace was also one of those that I made sure that I had on tape, cut the commercials out and everything, and watched it all the fucking time. Love this fucking movie. That's why it's my numero uno. I mean, no, wait. I suck at this. It's my turd. It's my number two.
We know what you meant. It's fine. Well, with all that, we're ready to move on to our number ones.
Number one.
Number one.
Numero uno.
And I'm excited to share my number one because, damn it, I will stand on this mountain alone. I don't care. I will express my love for this movie. I will defend this movie. I guess until I die. Masters of the Universe. I'm just going to show a clip.
Hell yeah.
Because I love this clip. It's my favorite part of the movie. If this doesn't get your adrenaline pumping, you have no soul.
I do have this on VHS.
You cannot hide from me.
Prepare the battle station.
Surely you won't leave with Skeletors to...
Here.
Warlord, let's go.
Signal the retreat.
No!
Prepare
must stand between me and my destiny.
But I will. I told you it was always between us.
Oh, I ache to smash you out of existence. To drive your cursed face from my memory forever. Yes! Let this be our final battle!
Oh, goosebumps. Goosebumps.
Yeah, man.
I'll never understand the hate for this movie. The costumes were great. The fucking the story was great. Look at Skeletor. God damn it.
Yeah. And actually I gotta correct myself on something. Now that I think about it, I do have this on VHS. It's down there, and I totally forgot about it. But yeah, I do have this one on VHS.
What a great movie.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. It's a classic.
You're right. I've always loved this movie. I remember going to see it. He-Man was so 1987, I believe it came out. Yeah, they ripped off some stuff. It was kind of Star Wars-y, but what the fuck? Everybody ripped off Star Wars.
When I was a kid, the only thing that I thought of, because I knew who He-Man was. Like, I watched the cartoons. I had the fucking toys. Like, I had like little female friends I had that had the She-Ra shit. And our parents would get together and hang out, so we would like have our He-Man She-Ra fucking like days. Like I used to, like my son has a couple of He-Man figures, and he has the tiger that I can't He-Man's fuck. You know what I'm talking about? Zoltar, yes, whatever his fucking name was.
Grayskull.
The fucking tiger.
Battlecat.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it had a similar name. Togar or something. It wasn't Togar? I am fucking lost on that shit. Anyway, yeah. Like, I used to have all those fucking toys and shit, man. And I was fucking... When I first saw it when I was a kid, I was also really big into Beastmaster. So, as a kid, I would get them confused sometimes. But, yeah. This one, I don't know why it gets hate. I mean, there's... Also, we can't forget about Meg Foster.
Yes.
Who we saw in that scene. Who
perfect choice.
Was
perfect choice.
Oh yeah. She was such a beautiful woman at one time.
But could be like those fucking eyes were just I see why she had a job in Hollywood. And they even went the extra mile with her by putting her hair back so you could really focus on the eyes.
Just the most amazing eyes of all time, definitely. Definitely on that, yeah.
And it, with a dark turn in the beginning, you know, Skeletor won. That's how they start the movie. Skeletor won the war. Dolph Lundgren night. We must break you. Y'all thought it was going to be Rocky IV, wasn't it? That's what y'all thought? No. The only reason I kind of stayed away from Rocky IV is because he only had like three lines in the whole movie.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Great lines.
Oh, but
iconic.
Battlecat's name was Cringer.
Cringer.
Yeah. Whenever he wasn't the Battlecat, he was Cringer.
Oh, okay. I just thought it was Battlecat. And they were smart enough not to put him in the. Because remember in the cartoon when he was Adam, he had that pink vest on or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Worse. I forgot about. Yeah. Well, have you ever seen that fucking He-Man parody? It's the He-Man cartoon with the okay. you know, when you get older and you actually think of the names He-Man. He-Man. Is that like two double negatives? Like, is that what is that? Like I don't know. And She-Ra, you know, that whole little universe was like you know, what's the guy? What should we name the guy with the skeleton face? Skeletor. All right, there we go for it. One of the most iconic villains of all time from our childhood. I mean, seriously. You think of Darth Vader, you think of fucking Cobra Commander, dude. And then you think of
Frank Langella that plays Skeletor.
Yes.
It's who?
Frank Langella.
Who is that again?
He was a bad guy in a shitload of movies. Played Dracula way back when.
Played Dracula way back when?
I think okay. He was like the one that after like Bella and all them went away, he came out.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that, actually. Learn something new every day, folks.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I was one of them little fucking thingamajiggers. Little fucking Japanese techno musical instrument that they found.
Oh, that's right.
This is Japanese, man.
The cosmic key. Great. I'm going to watch that shit when I get
the part when they first get to Earth, though, when, like, fucking dude steals the bucket of fucking barbecue, and then they're, like, fucking chowing down, and then, like, everybody likes it, and then until Man-at-Arms is like, ah, it's meat, it's from an animal, it's a rib bone, everybody's like, ah, I'm done with this. When he just starts sitting there chowing down on a chicken leg.
Like, I don't understand that would be an issue. Yeah, like, I guess you kind of figure that He-Man would be like, yes.
Eternia.
Yeah, right. We don't eat meat here.
Apparently not.
What kind of He-Man are you?
Poor battle cat. Fucking giant cats on a veggie only diet.
How do they have that big ass cat on a grass diet? That's my question.
Right?
The cat doesn't even like to eat people. Come eat him. Eat him. Oh. Cover him in bell peppers.
Yeah, I remember some of the bad guys in the movie, but like I remember Beast Man, but I didn't really remember some of the other ones.
Oh, that was cool. Have you ever heard that?
Remember Blade?
The CKY, song, Beastman and Skeletor.
Yeah.
It's one of the nastiest fucking songs. Chocolate goo.
I don't recommend you all look that up.
I do. It's fucking hilarious. Anything Brandon DiCamillo did. Yeah. It's fucking good shit. That's what I always think of, though. Like, I think of Skeletor. And also, you know what's kind of funny in that clip? Because we mentioned earlier, Captain America, which years later, after I was a kid, loved that movie when I was a kid. Watched it with my buddies when I got older, and it ruined our childhood. But the main bad guy, the Red Skull, or...
Red Skull.
Was it Red Skull? Okay, it's been forever since I even read those comics. Skeletor looks like a white version of him, like from what I can remember from seeing that fucking movie. I get that. Just thought of it.
There you go. Masters of the Universe. Working on pronouns since 84. He-Man.
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 Hey, man.
He-Man. Well, that's my number one. I could go on and on all night about you.
That's a good number one.
Showdown Little Tokyo.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Like, I always watched a shitload of martial arts movies whenever I was younger. That's why I am kind of like a Steven Seagal fan, minus his, like, just his early work.
Right.
That's the only thing good that he had. But then, like, I went back and watched this movie again, and I heard one of the weirdest fucking, like, the best scene in the movie that makes me just fucking die is the one we're going to play here, all because of the fucking weird-ass line at the end. Hit it.
I swear to God, I thought you were kidding when you said this line was in the movie. But it's real. Here's the proof.
Oh, yeah.
Kenner, just in case we get killed, I wanted to tell you, you have the biggest dick I've ever seen on a man.
Thanks. I don't know what to say.
How about don't get killed?
Don't get...
Yeah. I was going to mention that. Yeah. That's why I said we'll come back to it. I don't know why they thought it was a good idea to put that in there. Because
Well, they originally had this on DVD. As a white man, not just man. But then they changed it.
Did they change it? Did they come to their senses? Really?
Why?
I'm going back and watching, like, I totally didn't remember that part at all. Like, I was sitting there watching that shit the other night, and I was like, why the fuck would you say that to anybody? Like,
I just want you to know, Chad, you've got the biggest dick I've ever seen on any man. Like, how would you feel if I told you that?
Thanks.
Right before going into battle? Like, I there's no, there was no reason for that. That also goes back to the 80s.
Yeah, Carrera.
Right.
To make it even more weird and out of place.
Yeah.
Maybe he was secretly jealous.
But I was always like a big Brandon Lee fan too when I was younger.
Rapid Fire
and all that shit. They were all really good movies. And I grew up watching all those martial arts movies back in the day.
I remember
fucking like Shaolin movies. Like I watched all them when I was a kid.
I just remember being like fucking amazed that Brandon Lee and Dolph Lundgren were in a movie together. And I was like, fuck it, I gotta see this. And I like it. I mean, it's a funny movie.
What was funny was like Brandon Lee was born in the States, but he was Japanese. And then Dolph Lundgren was American and he was born in Japan.
Yeah.
Even though
I kind of like that twist. Japanese.
But again, they're after the Yakuza, and like the main bad guy, like the head of the Yakuza, killed Dolph Lundgren's parents whenever he was a kid in Japan. And then Dolph Lundgren ended up slicing his face, so he had a scar going down his cheek. And then he found him later, like in life, and then he just hunts him down after that. And then it's apparently, I think that was Tia Carrera's first movie.
God, she's so fucking hot in that movie.
Yeah. She's bad.
Woo! Yeah, I get a little hot.
She had two movies actually come out the same day. Let's see. I don't remember what they were. Have you two? Oh, she was in Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man. They both came out on the same day.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, wow.
That was a good movie.
Too. That was a good movie. Old Don Johnson, fucking Mickey Rourke, playing two roles that makes perfect sense. Well, now Mickey Rourke would probably be Maybelline, but you know, whatever.
He was bad back then.
He was.
Like, it was like a lot of like all the action scenes in that movie were pretty dope too, except for like the ending got kind of weird when fucking Dolph's running around fucking the streets in a full gi and fucking.
You know,
samurai sword.
And he had plenty of time to put on pants. You know, like
they say, like that's actually him. Whenever like the one scene where he's chasing the dude on the streets, and they have that parade, and he starts chopping up all like the bamboo trees and shit. Like he's actually using a real like authentic samurai sword that he had.
Cause he's
really
big
into martial arts and shit.
He's a bad motherfucker.
He really
is. Let's get him on the show.
That'd be a fun show.
God. I don't know how. You remember that time that you were in that movie with Van Damme? That was pretty cool.
I keep tagging him on Twitter.
Yeah.
Maybe he's in the chat.
That'd be freaking great. But I doubt it.
That'd be great, too. Yeah.
But maybe if I keep bugging him, he'll show up.
You have the biggest dick I've ever seen on He-Man. Well, you should see She-Ra looks like a Thanksgiving turkey down there.
Wow.
Well, that's a whole new perspective there. I never.
And is that an emoji with the heart eyes in it? Are you okay, Nathan?
This was actually the last movie that Dolph Lundgren actually like headlined on his own, pretty much.
Oh, wow. What about the newer ones?
I mean, back then it was.
Oh, back then. Yeah, because his newer ones, for God's sake, somebody give this man a good script.
We actually tried watching Kindergarten Cop 2 earlier.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. I couldn't finish it. I tried. I was like, okay, cool. All right. This isn't going to be that great, but it's going to be Dolph Lundgren. So, you know, and it's just that's one movie he probably should have been like, yeah, I'm good. Arnold did it. Like, no, that was bad. I couldn't
get through it. It was real bad.
It wasn't.
We made it farther than you, though, I think.
You did. I made it 20 minutes into it.
It was just funny, too, seeing, like, Bill Bell. Like, we were just trying to figure out.
Bill Bell with me.
Well, they kept going back to this fucking trailer down by the river, and they were just fucking hanging out all the time.
Yeah, I'm like, do they live together? Why?
Well, I mean.
Dolph was her first childhood crush.
Mine was Elvira.
Oh, well, what's up, Paige? That's a friend of mine. That's my friend Paige.
Byron and Leah Thompson were my first crushes.
They're good ones.
Oh, God.
And Elizabeth Shue.
Elizabeth Shue was a favorite as a kid. I also put a thing.
Danielle Harris, but she was our age.
Yeah.
Growing up.
Whenever she was in Roseanne.
Mm-hmm. That. But I was also like, I've always been like into older women. So like Sigourney Weaver was like my thing.
Dolph was
apparently Dolph. No, it was bad script. Bad script, bad writing.
Of like, all the lines of everything that's ever been out of place in any movie ever, that's got to be number one.
Like, I get what they were trying to do. They were trying to be like, oh, well, he walked in and like saw, and so you could get like, he's like, oh yeah, like cause he's
been, he was watching them out in the hot tub apparently, because like, it started off in the hot tub, him and Tia, and then they ended up back in the house.
Yeah.
So
I guess he was just sitting there being a perv, just watching them two get it on. But I mean, she's banging. But I mean, I think you see a lot of stunt boobs. I don't think they're really hers.
Probably not.
Because you never saw her face with the boobs. Usually that indicates stunt boobs.
I gotta say though, along with Harrison Ford, Michael Landstrom. Oh, well, okay. Harrison Ford's pretty cool. The thing is, Brandon Lee. Unfortunately, dude, he wasn't really in that many flicks.
Like four.
Yeah, and because dude, The Crow would have like set him.
Yeah, I guess technically like three and a half.
You know. Yeah. I would totally do a fucking brand.
It was all within like the span of like 3 to 4 years too. Like he was putting them out quick. Like every year he was coming out with a movie.
Rapid Fire was a favorite.
Right.
Well, he would have took off after The Crow.
Oh, easy.
He would have went to the moon and back.
He would have probably played fucking some superhero back in.
Oh, dude, yeah. Yeah, he would have been something else, you know. But so, unfortunately, we can't really do an episode on that. But we will, at this moment, say that Brandon Lee was awesome and died way too fucking young. Fuck that Lee curse.
Yeah.
So, shut down Little Tokyo.
That's my number one.
Oh yeah.
What you got for us, Chucky?
You already know it. We already talked about it. Punisher.
That's
my numero uno.
Yeah.
Which I know what it means now. That's my favorite. That's the one that like. Hey, you know, because Universal Soldier would have been on there, but I already talked about it last week, and I don't want to do that again.
It's like I was telling Dave, too, like, for Van Damme, I had other movies that I thought were better, but for Dolph, like, I just loved that character.
Sergeant Andrew Scott was it's right up there with The Punisher with me. Like, it really is. He did such an awesome job on both characters.
Right.
And the Punisher, like I said earlier, he fit it. He was the Punisher. And actually, somebody didn't mention earlier, there's an issue with the Punisher, because I have a nice little stack of Punisher comics. There's an issue with the Punisher that it was a cover that I always loved. Punisher had gotten into some issues, and his face was all fucked up. And the cover of it was Punisher's. It was like a brown paper cover that had Punisher's face like close up, and he had like, you know, the Dolph Lundgren look going on. And then you open it up, and it was like the Punisher with all these bloody bandages. It was a real picture of a guy, and the cover of that, the brown paper version, that always reminded me of like Dolph Lundgren. I was like, dude, there's no way they didn't like, because if you actually look after the movie came out. About 20 years later, 10, 15, 20 years later, I'm bad with time. If you start looking how Frank Castle was looking in the comics, he looked like Dolph Lundgren. He fit that whole thing. Great fucking movie. That's my number one. That's my numero uno. That's the one. Because Punisher's a bad motherfucker. And also you see that he has a heart too, because you know that the thespian is telling him, you know, that you know, you've, why are these children going to be, you know, He's like, you have to protect them. And he's like, oh, their parents can deal with it. They'll pay the money, whatever. And he's like, no, you have to do this. This isn't their fault. And he goes back and fucking, you're like, yeah, man, fucking A. And he fucking does what he has to fucking do. And also the ending of that movie, because of course he teams up with one of the biggest crime bosses in the movie, Mr. Franco, to go get Franco's son back, Tyler or Tommy or whatever the fuck his name is. And at the end of it, Franco turns on Punisher, and Punisher kills him. And the kid's all pissed off, and he's got a gun right at him, and he's just, you know, and Punisher warns him. He goes, if you grow up like him, I'll be coming looking for you. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, they're just that scene right there, you're like, he means that. He's like, dude, when you're 18, if you're a piece of shit like your dad is, I'll do the same thing to you, and that's not going to affect me anyway. I honestly, it's a standalone movie, for sure. But there is a part of me that it would have been cool to maybe have a part two, just to see what, you know, with the, you know, with the Louis Gossett Jr. stuff and all that. And just see where Frank Castle ended up. You know what I mean?
I mean, maybe he could do it now.
Well, they left the door open for it, but the big thing is, you know, the MCU now, the multiverse has taken center stage. So, you know, just saying, a cameo would be cool.
That'd be kind of sweet.
I could dig that. I wouldn't be mad about it. You know, from what I've seen looking up some stuff like about Dolph in recent times, he's still in great fucking shape. I mean, the guy's like, how old is he now?
Like 60s.
Yeah, he's got to be in
early 60s.
Guy has to be. Like, but he's still like in fit shape, and it's like, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea. Like, what if we could see 64. All right, yeah. Like, what if we could see? Like, we don't need Expendables fucking 5,000. Okay, like, what if we could see Punisher at 64. You know what I mean? Like, Punisher getting older, but he's still fucking kicking ass. You know?
Right.
I don't know. I think that if they did it right, it'd be cool. But these days in Hollywood, they don't do anything right. So, you know.
I think maybe an older Punisher meeting the young John Berthold Punisher and saying, mm-hmm. like, hey, this is where this leads.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know.
As he smells of Asper Cream because he has to lube up before he goes out on his missions. Got to loosen his joints up.
Lord have mercy on our souls.
Should we watch the Punisher video again?
Yes.
Let me tell you something about this Punisher. If he ever shows up within 1,000 yards of me, he'll find out what the word punished really means. Find out what the word punished really means. Find out what the word punished really means.
God damn, I love it. Fucking cool.
Once again, Chuck's band. Bastard Sons of a Judas Goat.
Thank you.
Punisher video.
Hell yeah. I love the fuck out of that, dude. I honestly, like, you know how many times I watched that when I first saw it that you put it on the group?
Oh really?
It goes perfect with it too.
It does. Even the words and everything. Like it's a good little Honestly, if Punisher was to come out now, it would be the perfect trailer like music.
I agree.
I'll do it for free.
I'll put that on our band page. Put that shit on YouTube so I can do that.
I'll do that after we get done. Just remind me.
Oh, yeah, of course.
What my age?
He really does. So do I.
So what, you know, because, you know, we've been on here a little past an hour or whatever, but is there any other Dolph Lundgren movies that we haven't mentioned that should be mentioned? That we, you know, okay. Have either one of you all seen Don't Kill It?
I have a long time ago.
Is it good?
It's not terrible. I mean, I've seen him do worse movies.
Yeah.
Like, I started watching this one called Shark Lake the other night.
I've thought about watching that one.
Yeah, don't waste your time, sir.
Like, is he
a shark? It looks like people were like laying on platforms, acting like they're swimming, and there's a blue screen, like a green screen behind them with the water and shit. It's bad. Like, the whole fucking story is like, he's a fucking exotic animal smuggler, and he gets busted. And he has like a 3-year-old daughter or whatever. And then she's just in this house by herself as he's fucking like fleeing the scene. And then they find all these animals and shit. So then like he gets out of prison 5 years later and this fucking like gangster dude's at his house. And apparently, I guess before he got busted, the dude wanted a bull shark. So he got him a shark and put it in the lake, but he never got to fucking give the guy the shark and he had the money. So his job is to catch the shark and get it to the mob guy. But then, like, the cops are trying to figure out why so many people were fucking dying in the lake. And then, like, the one cop's like, I bet it's his shark. And then they find out. Then, I don't know. I turned it off. Like,
So is Dolph a bad guy in that one then?
Kind of, but no. He's trying to, like, get his daughter back. Because, like, the one female cop that was on the bus whenever he got arrested, she actually adopted his daughter. So he's, like, trying to get his daughter back, too.
What was that fucking movie that he put out that was, One Man Army? Do you remember that one?
Army of One?
Army of One. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've seen that one.
Yeah, it's been a year. I don't remember shit about it. I remember liking that one.
I remember thinking that was in that movie, too, just like in Men of War. He plays the same. It's kind of like a sequel type thing.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that shit. It's damn. That movie, I remember seeing the fucking ad for that in the little, I'd go into the movie rental places and then had the little magazines to show you what all's coming out. That was, right. I remember seeing that all the fucking time. Like, it's crazy. You know, talking about action stars and stuff during this whole thing. Like, we see the complete decline of action films. You know what I mean? Like, at a certain point, because, like, as a kid, Van Damme, Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Seagal, Lundgren, all those motherfuckers, they were all over the place. You couldn't get away from them. They were in fucking this movie and that movie, and it was all, you know, it was all our dad fucking loved that fucking shit, you know. Like, my dad wasn't too great on all that stuff, but he watched it. Right. But, like, and then you would start to see these movies just coming out, like, straight to video. With Dolph Lundgren, with Van Damme, with Seagal. Somehow Seagal was able to stay in fucking theaters longer than Van Damme. Or a lot of them. I don't understand it because his movies got really bad.
Two came out, it all went away.
That changed. Everything changed after that.
Well, and I think I've expressed before my disdain for fucking Steven Seagal. But Under Siege is a fun movie. March for Death is a fun movie. Out for Justice. I like that. I like that one a lot, actually. March for Death, I always liked because I like the voodoo aspect of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then he went on to do a bunch of shit films, and one of them was done here in Kentucky. You know? Like, I don't get it. It sucks because you do. Actually, after the whole action hero thing kind of left at a certain point, rom-coms blew the fuck up for a while. I don't know if people were tired of all the fucking violence and needed some love and comedy in their lives. And then shortly after that, Scream came out and horror movies were all the thing again. You know, guys like me as a kid that got made fun of for liking horror movies, it was no big deal. It's so fucking weird, like, how all that shit works out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I don't know. I just, we're getting old, guys. We're getting old.
No. I think I did see Silent Assassin. There was something I saw. I thought it was called Silent Trigger.
Hard to Kill. I liked Hard. I've got that on VHS.
Hard to Kill's dope.
Johnny Mnemonic. Oh yeah, I forgot he was in John Mnemonic. Yeah, along with obviously Keanu Reeves, and special appearance by Henry Rollins as the fucking.
He wasn't he?
Yeah, he was the scientist, the doctor guy, which could have been fucking Dolph Lundgren in real life, you know.
Right.
I almost forgot he was in that.
Yeah, me too.
Christopher Lambert.
He's probably forever.
Whoa, wait. I didn't even see this one ago. Christopher Lambert was originally supposed to be the Punisher, but injured his ankle and they went longer.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I'm so glad he injured his ankle. Jesus Christ. No. In the words of Judd in Pet Sematary, Christ on his throne, no.
I don't know. Like, man, I was always a big fan of the Highlander movies.
Oh, dude, I mean, the Highlander movie, the movies, okay? The first one is a fucking classic, but I don't want Christopher Lambert to be, is it Lambert or Lambert? I was heard
Lambert. I always said Lambert.
Yeah, it looks like a Lambert to me.
I said Lambert one time and somebody corrected me, and ever since then I've been like Lambert. But Lambert. I don't think he could have been. I don't know. I mean, the guy's pretty goddamn. He's pretty badass.
He is badass.
He wouldn't have been the level. Honestly, if he would have done the Punisher, it would have been like Thomas Jane back in the day, doing it.
Yeah.
In my opinion, you know what I mean. There actually is a similarity of those two. No. Chuck would not have been happy with that.
Okay, I didn't make it through all the sound trigger. He was like a assassin, and then he'd have like a spotter, and then pretty much the whole movie you never really see him kill anybody, but you see him choke twice. And I'm like, you're just bad at your job. Like, you're not a good hitman at all.
Like, I would love to see a movie with all our favorite action heroes in it that didn't suck. A sequel was briefly announced at the Milan Film Market in fall 1990, despite the fact that new owners of New World Pictures weren't interested in theatrical films. The sequel was never further developed, and Dolph Lundgren was not willing to reprise his role after his disappointment with the final product and its release.
He did not like that movie.
And so it died.
Gone. He gone.
He gone. He gone. Well, yeah. It's just the universe going, you know what, this is what needs to happen.
I still want to see Predator where Jean-Claude played the fucking alien.
Yeah, that is one of those moments. That's one of those moments I think that things worked out for the best, because it was so much better. The Predator was bigger than Arnold. Because right. Van Damme is shorter than me. I'm 5'10".
You'd be seeing so, like a chameleon doing splits in a tree. Just sitting there. That's what it sounded like whenever he would have been like yelling whenever he got shot. He screamed.
Yeah.
But he's up in the tree.
His cheeks were jiggling.
Himself.
He puts that fucking napalm on his like cut, and he's like,
You know, I want to see the Predator edit. I want to see the edit of that where it's Van Damme's voice.
Oh my Predator. God, that'd be so much fun!
Okay, so you will have a job to do. I watched an entire movie like that. I'm not kidding. That'd be hilarious. Ah, you motherfucker.
It's definitely going to change that movie.
It really would.
It'd be fucking great. Instead of being like,
like, I'll put in a bunch of screams as, shooting, as he's running away.
Oh, it's great. Oh, you know what? I gotta say real quick. You got into a friendly argument earlier on Facebook. Big shocker that actually happens. Facebook, people actually be friendly. No.
Yeah, no.
Somebody had posted how much they hated Predator 2. And they were like, oh, if you put Predator 2 above Prey. And I'm like, I like Predator 1 and Predator 2 better than I do any of these other fucking movies.
I think I like Predator 2 just as much as Predator 1.
It's good. Well, so the guy, and nothing against the guy I was talking to about it, because he actually messaged me about it, which is fine, because I love when people message me about movies and shit. It's fine. But he was talking about just how it was ridiculous. And I was like, it's a movie about an alien coming to a futuristic, like, America. And that's in shambles. What do you mean? Like, yeah, of course it's going to be kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, because it was technically like 7 years in the future from when the actual movie came out. Mm-hmm.
Which by the way...
Oh, were they going to put them in the same jungle again?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, also, I have to also mention Predator, what was it called? Concrete Jungle, the video game. That was a fun game. Do you remember that?
Yeah, we're going to have to find that one.
Concrete Jungle? You never played that? Okay. Did you ever see Grandma's Boys?
Every movie Nintendo game and shit that ever came out.
We missed one.
Did you play or did you watch the movie Grandma's Boys?
Oh yeah.
Grandma Boys. Okay. The video game in that, I don't know if there's any relation to it. I love that fucking movie so much. Right? It's one of the best comedies that's come out in the last 20, 30 years. Oh yeah. I've got two copies of it on DVD. That's how much.
Who forgot Smoking Lamp?
I want to mix the fucking Frankenstein with the the video game that he's working on in that always reminded me of Predator. I don't know if there was something I don't know if there was inspiration at all, but he always reminded me of Predator. I wish they would come out with a Predator game that was the shit, because yeah. Concrete Jungle was actually pretty cool, and I can't believe you all have never fucking heard of it.
I can't either. What system was it for?
Oh shit. God, what system was that on?
Yeah, I know, like one night we did a stream where that's all we did was played fucking like movie themed games.
Yeah, I thought we found them all.
Total Recall and shit. Like
I wanna say it was Super Nintendo.
So it'd be a little better than
because I remember it came out. Oh. It came out around the time the Alien 3 game came out, which I think was on. Wait, no, that was on Genesis, maybe.
I think Mike said it's on Genesis. PS2 and Xbox. Originally.
Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Check that shit out, dude. That was a fun one. I liked it. It's been years since I've played it, but I remember loving it. Like, but if they came out with a game that was a Predator game, now, dude.
It would be sick as shit. You can play as the Predator. You can play as Dutch. Well, you can play sweet. As Mike.
Oh, play, yeah. Badass. See, it would be cool if they made... Actually, I'll tell you what. Like while we're live, I'll say this right now. The Friday the 13th game. Okay? If they were to make a Predator game like that, would make 10 times more sense.
It'd be like Dead by Daylight.
Yeah. Yeah, in a lot of ways.
You can pick your time. You can pick where you go. Like, you can go to feudal Japan. You can go to the jungle. You can go to L.A. in 1997.
That'd be dope.
Yeah. Like, honestly, just scenes from the first two movies. Do that. That's all I want. You know? Like, that would be cool as fuck. That would be really cool, actually.
You could unlock all these different... events in history. You could go back to World War II, and you could go back to
That's where these people fuck up. Because when you have something like the Alien franchise and stuff like the Predator franchise, especially the Predator franchise, because they've got awesome video games out for Aliens. I mean, they've got some awesome games out for that. But Predator doesn't get the love they deserves. They can do so much with that shit. I don't know if it's copyright. I don't know what the fucking deal is. But especially right now where Prey is so big, which I'm yet to watch. I need to watch it. I know. Right now would be the best time for them to do shit like that. Because it's getting so much praise and so many people are fucking loving it. If they were to come out with a game in that format, it would do fucking well. And it would probably be awesome. As long as it didn't have morons working on it and fuck it up. Yeah.
I don't know. I never played it. The only Predator games I ever played was Predator versus Aliens.
Oh, shit. I played it, but I don't remember.
It was just a side-scroller beat-em-up. That's all it really was.
Is that what it was? Yeah, because I had a buddy that had it, but I don't think I played it much.
I haven't played that one.
I didn't even know Hunting Grounds. Well, goddamn.
I haven't played that.
Sleeping on him.
Well, with that, we're going to have to check all that out. I think we're going to close the store up for tonight.
Next week will be Sly, so hopefully everybody will get a chance to check out The Samaritan on Friday.
Oh, shit. I'm excited about that one.
We'll talk about it next week as well.
That's right. Brand new movie coming to Amazon Prime. Stallone's first superhero movie?
I mean, if you don't count.
Judge Dredd.
No.
Demolition Man.
He was also in Guardians. One of them fucking movies.
Well, anyway, Samaritan's coming to Prime Video. We'll discuss that.
the three seashells.
Oh,
what are you doing? That's crazy. Yeah.
How could you not know? Well, once again, we thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We are your video store clerks. I'm Dave.
Yeah, man.
Chuck.
Is there anything left to plug, Chuck?
Yes.
That didn't come out right.
There's a lot of things to plug when it comes to me. First off, I'll go ahead and just say, tell us in the podcast /2G1C, the Saturday show now. It was Friday, not Saturdays, that I'm a part of. We put out a comic book not too long ago, which Chad and myself both are holding up here. Tales of Shock and Terror. It's old school EC Comics, Tales from the Crypt kind of shit. Sure. There we go. That's the variant cover of mine, which doesn't make any sense for the story, but it works. Whatever. It was a joke, and then they went with it, and I was like, awesome, because I'm a weird motherfucker. But if you're a fan of the old Tales from the Crypt EC comic style, you'll enjoy this. Written by myself, J.B. Bustle, Ron Pertee, artwork by Drew Moreland, and out by Cutthroat Comics. It's a good one. Go to tellusthepodcast.com. You can find everything you need to know about us and this comic. There's a link. Go buy the motherfucker, because I'm broke. I need shit, damn it. All my shoes have holes. Buy the goddamn comic. Thank you.
What are you waiting for?
I'm rich, bitch.
And also, if you are in the Lexington, Kentucky area this Friday, August 26th, check out us at the Fish Tank, alongside a couple other good acts, Pleasure Boys and Jandergan, and our boys in Something Weird. It's the record release show, and we are very happy to be a part of it. And it's going to be a fun time. So if you're in the Lexington area this Friday, come out. Fish Tank. It's going to be a good time. It starts at 8. We go on at 9. $10 at the door. Stay for all the bands. It's going to be a fun time. A psychedelic mess.
Always a good time. And it's always a good time here in the store. Once again, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Please join us next Wednesday at 11 as we do Sly Stallone Night. It'll be good. Well, we're going to lock up the store for tonight. Not that we have any customers anyway, because we never do. We are your video store clerks. Good night.
It's not a legacy I want to leave behind, but I am Chuck
Nasty. How the fuck am I out of this place already?
This shit can't be any fucking good.
Welcome to the store. This is Video Store Clerks. All movies. All the time. Welcome to the store.